you have a questioning nature and a desire to nourish your essence within, you have reached the realm of truth. Live from inner space, it's the next sequel to Interactive Enlightenment, brought to you by your host, Seven Bomar. Enjoy nonstop breakthroughs, advanced knowledge, and self-discovery to the core of your very essence. Join us as we map the blueprint to the cosmos and dissolve the mysteries of the Matrix. You are now connected to the Keymaker.
And balanced vibrations to everyone, and well, we've made it to an amazing time in the expansion for everyone. Obviously, the Keymaker series has been highly anticipated, and of course, we're on True Frequency Radio, so this is an amazing collaboration. And of course, it took us quite a bit to get back into broadcasting on some kind of regular basis, so obviously, you know, I'm going to be loosening up a little bit and oiling the old machine and getting ready to bring one of those amazing, expansive conversations that we always have. And, you know, the first thing I wanted to say is that once again, you know, it's great to be on TFR. I wanted to send a special shout out to Chris and Cherie Geo for putting this together and for making it possible, because obviously with so much to do, just for me personally, hosting another platform and, you know, doing all the stuff that Chris does is, you know, a lot. As you've heard probably in the previous show, we face quite a few different things. And in that, you know, you have to spend time doing that. So this is a great opportunity for me to continuously reveal many of the things that I'm discovering in real time. Obviously, I continuously expand with the message, and I don't always have the opportunity to bring that to everyone, and so this is one of those major efforts in doing that. So the Keymaker Show is really designed to really answer the toughest questions related to spirituality that are out, period. And for those that know me, they know that I do have quite a bit of range, but sometimes if I'm not just addressing something specific, I can just go deep into the fringe, which we all love, but sometimes doesn't hit home with the things that we're experiencing in our readily available reality. And how the Keymaker Show works, just so you understand the structure, very briefly, we do have about 3 breaks, and those take place every approximately 30 minutes. And so we have about 3 minutes and three breaks in a 2-hour session. And during the session, I'll be answering questions that you actually would submit to astroquest.com/ask. You'll find a form there, and you fill out that form, and we'll review those questions throughout the week, and then we'll pick the questions that we feel that are most pertinent to answer, and then you can tune in, and then you can get answers to your questions. So that'll be something that you can really, really utilize to get some specifics if there's something that you want to know about, or there's something that we've discussed and you want more details. The next thing that I'll say is that obviously, you know, it's been quite a last 3 months. There's pretty much no one that I've run into that hasn't experienced some level of turbulence as we go into some kind of grand, some say it's a planetary alignment, some say it's cosmic, some say it's just most necessary. I feel kind of it's a mixture of all of those, and it's basically where we're now really seeing that we have to make these decisions in our lives to determine what we're going to be doing next, how we're going to be functioning on this planetary plane, and in what condition we're going to function in if we're going to be conscious people. Because one thing that I did also notice is there are regular sleepers, I call them the plutoniums, those are that are the furthest away from the source, didn't seem to be experiencing much of any change, because it's always chaotic for them, a chaos that they've grown quite resilient to, I'll say, versus those who have drawn closer to their source or closer to their soul have experienced the changes and what I'll say is the turbulence even that occurs within their consciousness and also within people around them when that major change is taking place. And so we've had people around us that have literally become planetary resonators. And in that, some have come off balance and some have crashed into our world and others have left or jettisoned themselves into other orbits. And so we've all been experiencing this. So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about what causes that. And also how to begin to navigate those kind of fields and also avoid it entirely. And I feel like that this message is very precious. And for those that are listening today, this is something that's especially for you because we have a very synchronistic connection. And that connection really allows us to begin to experience the same things and very unique parallels. And that allows us to share based on experience. So that way we have answers and responses based on experience. So what I've always used as a personal defense against when something may happen that may just throw my life offline is I tend to come back harder. I've kind of always been the individual that, okay, if you're going to turn up the fire, then we're going to see who's going to burn up first. And that to me is most necessary when you're delivering this kind of message because there'll be all types of turbulence and things that attempt to cease, allow you to cease and desist. And I think that everyone experiences that in their life in some way, that we have challenges and we're encouraged either to quit because there is an encouragement to quit, or we can encourage ourselves to actually go stronger. So I've always been the type that just goes stronger in it. So this is a prelude to that. And as I said, I'm getting warmed up here. And what I intend to do, not only today, but henceforth, is once again launch the all-famous content war. And for those who are familiar with my message, remember years ago, there was literally an effort that we went on to begin to push out more conscious information on a higher caliber. And at a certain point, we did literally have so much information out on the internet about the real stuff, Kundalini, third eye awakenings, those kind of things. I felt that we had won that content war, and indeed we did. But now I feel like there's a new change in things as Earth is constantly changing and our existence is constantly changing. And so it demands of us to adjust our message, just as messages from 3,000 or 4,000 years ago have to become more innovative to the times that we're living in. So for me, it's time to launch that again. And this is, to me, I use the term war because there's disinformation out there, meaning that there's literal lies that others put out and some people study things and don't come to the right conclusion, and you know how it works. So there's a lot of information that can kind of cloud the judgment of others who are looking to get information that's spot on and correct about what they may be looking into. So we're going to begin to bring out more of that truth. So it's ideal that we do that through Truth Frequency Radio. So that way we can really start to narrow things as far as the confusion and get rid of the confusion entirely. So I'm going to start today by talking about what has really been going on in the planetary system that has caused this major influx. And what I will say before I talk about that, though, is that change is conflict. And I'll say that once again, change is conflict. That the moment that something needs to change, generally there's some type of friction that occurs before that to make it change. Even when you switch the light on, there's a friction that goes on between the terminals. There's a friction that goes on between even the plastic. So that friction it causes a change. So anything that you're looking at in life, you can see now if it's causing you a conflict that there's a change that is necessary. And we're encouraged to face those changes, seeing that we're constantly in a changing environment. Millions, if not billions of cells die in the body every day just to change you into what you're yet to become. But never let anyone narrow you down to something that's simple or something that what I would say is repetitive or something that doesn't have value and something that's unique. Right? We are all very, very unique. So never let anyone tell you that you don't have something very unique going on with you. There's no one size fits all in this. You have to find exactly how you can align yourself with your higher truth to experience what you need to experience in this reality. And the only thing that we offer is we offer great advice based on experience. And also based on things that we've learned every day and in our lives through spiritual journeys and through physical journeys that have helped us traverse the same terrain that you're traveling yourself. So for me, it's also been, I guess this is now the sixth or seventh year of looking deep into the cult nature of the reality. This comes from symbols. This comes from religious structures. This comes from secret societies. This comes from either even science. It comes from fringe. So I've gathered all this information and also this experience to make more of an innovative approach to how we perceive what's going on in this reality, because let's just face it, no one with a presidential authority, let's say, or has a real title has actually come forward and said, hey, this is how we got here. This is the meaning to life. It's always left as a mystery, while most of these stations and these larger factions and groups only focus on just the minute problems of day-to-day life, which seem to be rather repetitive. So it does take courage to go out every single day or every single moment in your consciousness to find something new and to find the meaning of things when the mass majority around you have no clue and don't want to have a clue about it. And so one of the major things that I've noticed is that there's been a release of this energy that can be called dark matter energy into our reality. And that is what has shaken things up a bit. So if you're looking for a specific reason to why does it seem to be more chaotic? Why is there so much energy flying around? And it's because there's a lot of dark matter energy that is floating around, and few know how to utilize that energy. So we're going to talk about that tonight, because obviously the dark matter energy is something that the ancients were more familiar with and utilized in their creation process. In fact, it was the beginning of the creation process. It is the material that's used to begin the creation. It's the rough cut stone, if you may. And so what I found out is that this dark matter energy for us mainly translates into what we call sexual energy. It's very deep. It involves the creative force. So we can see in our world that clearly there is a great misuse of the sexual energy, as it is a great misuse of our creative energy. Meaning if you look into military-industrial complex and even the science and laboratories, Big Pharma, Big Chemo, all this knowledge that they've discovered about the plants and the animals and the minerals and the elements have been abused and misused to create things that harm us and addict us. And so that creative energy is being misused. And that's been going on for a while. But what happens when you get so much of that energy? And then it begins to fill up the entire environment, and it can, in a certain sense, become maddening. So we can actually turn to the body, and we can turn to situations that people experience in everyday life. If you don't experience them personally, you will know someone who's experiencing this, to get real answers to how you balance out these energies, and also to confirm what I'm telling you today is actually true. And today, actually, we're going to start, I'm going to explain this through a theory that I've uncovered that I just call the cannabis theory. And I find it rather relative, because there's a lot of cannabis use going on in the reality right now. And as you can see, the government is beginning to endorse it. And on all of the major outlets, you see it on CNN. And so we always have known that anytime the governments begin to endorse something, maybe we need to take a closer look at it and to see whether it's in our favor or not in our favor. And today I'm not actually here to tell you what you should and should not be doing. I'm here to just lend a couple suggestions so that you can understand, or as I say, understand things better, so that way you can get through your experience as smooth as possible. So the cannabis theory begins with understanding exactly what the plant is and what it actually causes within the body and within your structure and your consciousness. What allows cannabis to make people more creative? Because there's a numerous amount of people, almost countless, that have invented things like music and logos and even grand theories and lots of those kind of what I would say innovative approaches and inventions into the reality with the use of cannabis. And so when we look under the fibers of it, literally, what we find is that cannabis is actually a female plant. That the plant that people smoke is the female. The male, obviously, is hemp. And this female's process is actually a process of yearning, meaning that the cannabis plant actually is yearning to pollinate or yearning to actually populate and create with the male plant, which is actually absent. Any person who's ever grown weed knows that the first thing you do is never allow any male plants to be around the female plants. So what happens is that if you can see this plant on an energetic level, what you would actually see is the divine feminine itself. And that's why I think it's always been given names that are synonymous with the ocean, synonymous with the female, Mary, and Mar, Ma, and all of those acronyms. And this is very important for us to realize, because that means that for those who choose to utilize cannabis, it means that they're filling their body with the divine feminine. And this is often why cannabis is often used to sort of patch the hole in people's reality of where they're not getting that divine feminine energy. Cannabis can become somewhat of a panacea or cure-all for people's situations and things that they're dealing with in life. If they're experiencing anxiety, they may smoke cannabis. If they're bored, they may smoke cannabis. If they feel uncreative and dull, they may smoke cannabis. And so what happens is the reason why this plant has become so popular in use is because the reality itself in our interactions with the organic feminine forces has been at an all-time low. And the one thing I'll say is that this is not a male and a female thing. I want you to understand that the divine feminine goes much more further than just the human female. As we've talked about, it's even the cat has a female. Even we see plants have a female. We see frogs, there's females. So it's what's behind those eyes, the force that's behind those eyes that we're talking about, that fills up every single body, whether you're quote-unquote a male human or female human. So at any point where we lack that divine feminine force, whether it's the love from our mother or our grandmother, whether it's the love from a significant other, and what we even see in a moment is whether it's the lack of creativity at any aspect, whether that's having a child or having your, what we would say is a project that you're passionate about. When you lack that, you may seek to fill that hole with something like cannabis. Now, this goes into something bigger. I'm just giving, it's called the cannabis theory because it could be applied to anything that incorporates the divine feminine and the divine masculine force. So you can see how these days you have this excessive use of this substance that's filling people's body with this creative force, i.e. dark matter, because the dark matter is the womb. It cultivates, it creates, okay? And so it's the exact same force that we use to create. So what happens if we get filled with this force, but we're not creative? This means that we've gotten full of something, but there's no outlet. So what you see in the industry now, is, which is why they're encouraging the use of cannabis use, is that you see that the animalistic instinct, which is the root to our creation, it is our the foreground, if you may. It's the soil that we grow from. It's also what we will progress back to in the event that we don't fully utilize our human ability. So this is why excessive cannabis use also leads to a person being much more sexual and wanting to populate with someone else. And it leads to, like, the music you see today, it's basically, as one song even, they just put it in the title, it's just marijuana and women. And again, because this is not partial to a male or female, it could be for the female, just marijuana and men. So how do you balance out this type of energy? Well, it's very simple. What we'll find is that within every human being, there is the ability that we've been endowed with, which is to be more creative than just people who reproduce. You know, as the first command is reproduce or be fruitful and multiply. But as human beings with this great mind and consciousness that we have, we now have this ability to invent. We can paint. We can play music. We can print things. You know, there's 3D printing. There's many different things that we can begin to engage in that actually are other expressions of our creative force. But if you lack that, if you lack that outlet, what can happen is you will become bottled up. You will yearn for something. Notice how if someone says to you, well, what is your passion? That can relate to your significant other. Well, you know, I'm passionately in love with her, or I'm passionately in love with him. Or it could relate to your craft. You could paint. He's a passionate painter. She's a passionate designer. So be on watch for this. And like I said, it's not just cannabis. It's just the cannabis theory. It gives us a good stamp to put on it, so that way we recognize it in other aspects. Because we can find that we will begin to abuse certain things or overuse certain things. We can even do that with each other. You could make a person your cannabis. Every time you feel anxiety, you call them. Every time you're hurt, you call them. Every time you're bored, you call them. But what's really being desired is that you tap into that creative force and begin to create something within. So that way you become addicted to self. You see? So this is what this is about. This is the prelude to today's conversation. And it's about how to examine what's really going on in this reality, because I feel like there's so much information that's way over people's head. It's become just entertainment. They just listen to it. They may even sit down and smoke a little cannabis and just listen to the message and take it all in. But where's your outlet? How are you utilizing this? Is it allowing you to develop something that's grand in your invention? Is it giving you the passion to continue your own projects and your own endeavors with what you're doing in this world? Or is it bottling all up? Is it frustrating you? Is it making you feel that it's too much because it's overwhelming and it's not being distributed properly? You see? So this connects into many things about how we utilize our energy and also how we begin to step into the role of the ancients, the ancestors, to begin to use this force to do more than just reproduce sexually and begin to create and invent again, to stop looking to all of these technology and these computers and the next new buggy model or the next new update to something, and become the ones who invent. Because if I look right now and I say, well, I need to find some type of real application for my child to begin to learn about the mechanics of this reality through the geometry in which nature emits, so that way they're not getting indoctrinated through this system and this history that has been fabricated in this English language and all this kind of stuff that's been rolled in. Where can I go on the web to find that? I won't find it. I may find something that's been half-heartedly put together and not finished, but I won't find anything complete. Not to mention, I won't find lots of it. So that way there's no monopoly on one particular faction that's just delivering this information that's saying, hey, this is for your child, like it's a cookie cutter. I won't find all the variations from different cultures and different experiences, so that way it harmonizes more with where I come from and where she or he comes from. Okay? So this is because lots of this creative force is bottled up within everyone. And now today, I'm encouraging you to begin to take this message, to take these energies that you're utilizing, and to question how much of it is bottling up, and then how much of it is actually being put into use. Because the future, what the future holds for us, is determined by you. Remember, a few people invented what millions of people are using today. So if more of us begin to utilize the creative force in the proper way, And we begin, and we can begin to finish much of the projects that are still on the drawing board and haven't been complete. So we're going to take a break here in about a minute. When we come back, we're going to talk about the megastructure. We're going to talk about the reincarnation process. We're going to talk about what actually happens to us if we choose not to be creative this lifetime. And then we're also going to talk about what's going to happen when we choose to be creative. So that way we can begin to reinstill this force within us that's going to carry us to the great beyond. So this is very imperative. This is a serious conversation. This is a depth level as it can get because it involves real life. It's not just about telling you about a bunch of hocus pocus and numbers and sigils and space time and inventions and time machines. It's about telling you about how you can progress in real time right now based on the elements around you and how also to put your body back into balance. So that way you can become a fully animated being. And so you can see beyond time and see beyond space and then see yourself there and then connect with what that is. So we're going to be going into this break. I wanted to say again, thank you to all the listeners and to those out there that have tuned in and have plugged themselves into this collective that we all are a part of in order to share a much greater level of knowledge with each other. So we're back. We're about to get into this really deep. As I said, that was the prelude to the show. And, you know, what I'm saying to you is I'm not saying that one is good and one is bad. What I'm saying is seriously analyze it and determine if whether or not it's happening to you. So, the last show, which was based one of the first shows that I did actually on this series, so it'd be like episode zero of The Keymaker. We discussed some major things. We discussed the maze of the world. We discussed the Minotaur. We discussed some of the some things about the reincarnation process and ley lines. So today I plan on finishing up that message because there were some things that I discovered later on that synced right into what was being explained there, especially about the reincarnation process. So the first thing I'm going to get into you about, I guess so, yeah, it's understanding. So here we go. So the first thing is that you're either taught this from the time you begin to comprehend, or you teach yourself based on experiences. And what I'm talking about here is not just occult knowledge. I'm talking about the way of the world. Because I noticed that you definitely have people that have read, you know, say, The Laws of Power and, you know, a lot of Robert Greene's work and The Art of War. And, you know, and they've even taught their children as they grow up in households like this. And these are the owners of these major companies and what we call third party. So because they've been taught that since they were knee high and since they begin to comprehend, they function like that in the world, like it's just normal for them. It's normal for them to look out for themselves. It's normal for them to get over on good people. Okay? So you have to realize that that's the way that they've been bred. So when it comes to any kind of knowledge then, that is to reach the depth of who you are, you either have to begin that when you're little, or you have to teach it to yourself based on a series of experiences that in many times will be negative experiences. Meaning that I've learned a lot just coming out and teaching this message. And I've learned about a lot about people. And I've also got rid of a lot of my naive thinking about the entire world doing something. versus when it's time for me to do something. And what I mean by that is that there's a saying by Rumi. It says, you know, when I was clever, I wanted to change the world. When I became wise, I decided to change myself. And what that means is that we can often make statements and not even know the full ramifications of those statements until we begin to look within and say, well, how hard is that for me to accomplish on my own? It's hard for me to change myself. So how much more difficult is it for me to change the world? I'm going to have to go through these experiences. Some of those experiences are going to be what we call negative. So the world's going to have to go through these experiences, and some of those experiences are going to be what they call negative. But in every aspect, these experiences, they serve you. They become your master for a moment to teach you something. And then once you learn that, you become the master over that. So remember that in this system, this megastructure that we call Earth, this vast organic mainframe, there's only the master and the slave. And it functions no different as a computer. The computer has a master drive. For anyone who's ever worked with computers, you know you have a master drive. And then there's other drives that they're called the slaves. And you have that because the master drive is how the computer boots up. It goes to that first to find the information. And then the slave drive, they just hold the information. But notice also, there's no difference in the equipment. Meaning, there's no difference in the masters and the slaves of this reality. Two arms, two legs, and a head. The only difference is how they're hooked up. So, in the computer world, to make a drive a master or a slave, it's simply putting the DIN switch on in one area or another area. It has nothing to do with the drive. The drives are all the same. So take that as a metaphor, that there is no difference between you and even the who would say they're the greatest and the Lord of everything, except for how they're hooked up or their connections. Notice how if something happens and you need to get yourself out of a situation, how many connections you have at time determine if you can get out of that situation or not. So we see in the reality that's replicated with politicians, so-called controllers. They have all these connections, and that's how they get themselves to the top. So today what I'm going to teach you about is how to broaden your connection with the cosmos. We're going to leave petty earth squabbles alone, and we're going to talk about broadening, something called the broadband, the broadband connection. And it's about how to become the connector, not the terminal. Because remember, on a battery, the terminal is the positive and the negative. And when you're the terminal, you know, you only can be that. You can only either be positive or you can only be negative. But when you're the connector, you bridge both. And I'm telling you, this may not be as valuable to many people now as it will be when you start getting a little bit more mature, when you start becoming wiser, when the clock starts running into, you know, you're getting older and you start realizing that, hey, it's up to you to figure this out, that you will perish here. Like, it's not a game. Nobody lives in time forever. You will go beyond time. And you need to figure out what exists there. Not in order to not be like so many people who just, you know, they, until the lights shut off, they're still in that same state of mind, thinking that it's all, you know, just, it's running on auto. And in fact, it is. The reincarnation process will kick in. Everything will proceed as it normally does. You will be nothing more than another zodiac. And you will come back into the system again, not aware that you were here before. And it will begin to play itself out once more. And that will be the experience that you call life until you go beyond. So this is about being the connector. So positive and negative is what we should address first. And also why in these days so-called, quote-unquote, good people are going to begin experiencing, as they are now, more turbulence in the future. And how to position yourself properly so that you're not experiencing that. Because as you know, there's a whole thing cooked up here. They call it the last days, you know, and Christians will be persecuted. So in quotes, they say basically good people will be persecuted. Okay. And then you see that now that there's so much negativity out there, you know, good people, like people who want to help you, people who want to do something for you, people that want to give you something, don't expect anything back. That's all on the minimum. Versus people who want to take something from you and people who want to charge you for something and people who don't want to help you, that's on the maximum. And then on top of that, when you're in the position of assisting others and helping others, then you get these attacks that you feel like that you don't deserve because after all, you're here trying to do something good, right? So the truth is that there's more than just two poles. Even in duality, in retrospect. So in duality, you got good and bad, right? That's what most people sum it up to. But let's take it into another scope. You have light and dark. That's in relation to color. You have hot and cold. That's in relation to temperature. So you see, there's more when you start to examine this quote unquote duality. It's not just saying that there's two poles. It's saying that there's two aspects to a myriad, meaning tons, millions, billions, trillions of different integers. So it's not just about just two poles. It's about what decision you're making at each moment. And even more important than that, it's about how do you find the neutral zone? Because some have actually confused neutral with being good. When you say, well, you know, I'm just neutral, and that means you're the good one. It goes in their mind. It just goes to good in their mind. But that's not what neutral is. Neutral is not, it's not good or bad. So what I'm saying is that we have to find neutral. We have to be able to fully define neutral in our consciousness. And the way that we do that is we begin to examine closely how that plays out in the esoteric world. So what we'll see in the esoteric world is how balance has been achieved for hundreds, maybe let's say thousands of years here. Is either you play the game and you balance out the scales or you exit the game. So I call this Freemasons versus monks. Freemasons, I mean the ones that are in the degrees beyond the 33rd degree, not any of the lower degrees who are still, you know, oh, there's nothing wrong with this and blah, 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 blah. There's nothing right or wrong in that world. Because that is the symbol of the white glove. The white glove means is that there's something in between me doing it. It means that if I kill someone, I must in turn save someone, and then that balances out. For those who may think that's preposterous, they may have not read the deeper works. That's why a Shriner will do charity. And every Shriner is a Mason. In the higher degrees, you must do both good and evil in balance. And because you're constantly exposed to these two chaotic fields, it becomes a very difficult thing. It's just called playing the game. That's why there's a chessboard there. Now, the opposite end to that, but equally as difficult, especially at 2015, is the monk lifestyle. This means that you basically retreat from humanity and you put yourself into a solitude and you create as little vibration as you can. This means that you don't actually send any kind of waves because even the monks know with every action, there's a reaction. That's not physics. That's old school knowledge and wisdom. So if you don't send any actions, then there's no reactions. And the only way to do that is to be still. That's why they call it the stillness of the monk, the stillness of the abbot. Because if you're not making any waves, then nothing should really come back. But if you got kids, you can already hang that up. If you can have done things already in the reality that make it impossible for you to go and do the monk so that you can achieve this balance. So it's equally as complex. While others joining Freemasonry for them and then rising through all these degrees and all these creeps around them and then finally making it to the point where they're charged to kill and to give. I mean, think about what a mind job equally is difficult. You see, so you have two different spectrums, but both of them have the same level of complexity. So what's needed here is a hybrid version of neutrality. So I started thinking about this. Now remember, this is real stuff. Like again, when you start really asking yourself the questions about what you need to do here, not how you're going to appear to others, not what you're going to say next that's going to make others listen to you. And generally, if you're talking, you're not listening. If you're typing, your brain cannot be on receipt. It's only on send. And that's what I was saying about it's somewhat like a attention deficit. So much divine feminine bottled up in creative energy, it wants to create right now, but it doesn't know what it's going to create. So it just creates these little words. All of our energy then funneled into something that can't even conduct the level of what we are. That's why art is so powerful. It's not words. It's an entire creation, an embodiment. Other integers are used, paint, sculpture, to give more of an expression of what we really are. That's the use, a partial use of the creativity. You know, if you want it to be really creative, you in a sense need to write volumes as big as War and Peace. Write volumes to explain the different aspects of what goes on in our consciousness. Not one sentence. So, this hybrid version is what I call the Willy Wonka theory. And I named it that because while it may seem funny, it's very serious. It's a playful term to interpret something that has eluded thousands, if not millions of humans for years about a hybrid version of neutrality beside ultra mysterious and creepy secret societies attempting to weigh themselves on the scales, or ultra seclusive, ultra somewhat boring, non-inventive monks, abbots, lamas. You see? So let us hear it. So when we look into the structure of Willy Wonka, what we'll find is we'll find all the remedies of how you create a hybrid version of neutrality. So the key thing is to never let anything stop your creativity and your want, your desire, and your compassion to assist. But also never allow your passion to assist to put you in a position to where it reaps thorns and thistles and anxiety for you because you're not getting the response that you're looking for. Or someone does something to you or something that you're developing. There almost needs to be somewhat of a barrier or a wall between you and them. So notice how Willy Wonka had placed himself inside of this castle or palace that he had created for his inventions. But he never stopped giving those treats and those treasures. There was Scrunches Dillyunches bars. There was Everlasting Gobstoppers. And that continued to come forth from the factory. But no one knew what was going on inside of the factory. Now, true enough, you'll always have the Oompa Loompas. You'll always have your Charlies. So this means that when you begin to create your space of sovereignty so that you can truly create, because if you're in an environment with all this chaos and you got people that are good, you got people that are evil, and you got people that basically wake up and determine which one they're going to be at every single moment. And here you are. How can you find balance? If the cosmic wind is blowing you left and right and left and right, how can you find neutrality when you have frequencies interacting with you all the time? And we never think about this. Like, how is this stuff really affecting us? Are we really impenetrable to it? Or are we already, you can basically say that the in the person's mind that is mind controlled, they don't know that they're mind controlled. That's the whole power of it. That's how it was designed. Some people talk, speak, type, write things that they haven't even cleared across their true consciousness because they don't even know where it is, because there's so much interacting on them. They have to pull themselves away to find that space first. You can't find the quiet space inside in chaos. You have to find that space first and then maintain it in chaos, if that's your mission. So that's what you have here, is you have that magnificent palace of yours. That's your body. That's your temple. You have the Oompa Loompas. Those are your the structure inside of you, your organs that work for you. And then you have every now and then your Charlies. These are people that you know that harmonize with what you're doing because they're working on the same thing. So then you realize that even old Slugworth, meaning the person who is supposedly the antithesis, the negative component, is even your invention. As you found in the end of the movie, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, that Slugworth worked for Willy Wonka. It was a necessary component to put in, because if you didn't have that under control, someone else was going to actually try to become that. So think about it. In your life, have you begin to structure, starting from inner, starting from inside, and then going out feet, going out meters, going out acres, in that direction, creating this balanced field for yourself? Because like I said, it may have no value now. Like if you could be, you know, I don't want to put age groups on this, but if you're, you know, 18, 20s, all this stuff, you know, it's going to make only an inkling of sense for 80%. You could be a part of that 20%. You could be a part of the ones who, you know, it's like, hey man, he's got an old soul. He's like 19, but he's like already on this. So a lot of this doesn't come till later, till you start realizing the greatest thing to have is your peace of mind. So that way you can create your treasures. You can leave legacies. You can be the one that invents. Because think about it, like billions of people are under this pressure right now. They don't even understand what to do. They're not available for the conversation. They're just in the cosmic wind blowing here and there. They don't get a chance to sit down and realize the Willy Wonka theory. Like, man, you know, it's not that I want to pull away from the world. Because, see, remember, that's not what you want to do. You don't want to pull away from the world and then stop up your creative force. That's going to hurt you in the long run. In 2015, we're talking about real time. That may have worked 2,000 years ago. You know, there's no TV. There's no nothing. So it's easy to go within. But now, you know, there's so many demands on your life, you must maintain. So how you maintain, though, is you maintain through your treasures. And the only way you can deliver those treasures is if you put yourself in the right environment, in the right mindset to be able to do that. And that's how important this is. That's how people are making it. Look at Kickstarter. You know, you got equipment such as the Glowforge. This guy makes $27 million in 30 days off of his invention. You can see he's an average guy. But somehow in his atmosphere, he was able to create that space to invent something. And unless you're pulling from someone else, then you have to find your way in all of this. You're going to have to find your way in the cosmos. So this is not just finding your way in the world. This is not just, oh, I can, you know, I don't, you know, I'm on a trust fund or, you know, I'm on aid or disability. This is not about just you being dependent on something. This is about you becoming dependent on yourself so you can create treasures. So remember, it goes right back again to the cannabis theory. If you depend on something else to spark your creativity and you can't spark your own creativity, or let alone when your creativity is sparked, if you don't know what to do with it, if you don't got any outlets for it, how is that ever going to benefit you across the timeline? Not just right now, not just right here in this space, but when you die or when you divide, when you leave all of this and there's supposed to be something else, what else will there be unless you created it? And when we come back, what I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about what really is there. Meaning that when you cross over, if you're still looking to be hosted, if something is still hosting your platform, we're going to talk about the archonic structure that was designed to host this reality that we're calling Earth. Because while that may not have been on a lot of people's mind, this is something that I've been thinking about for years. And I've been catching this glimpse, like the alchemical picture, you know, you pull back the curtain and you look over to the other side and you see the back room to this and you see the geometry. More than anything, you feel the essence of how serious it is. It snaps you out of this. It's like watching a film that takes you so deep into reality. When you're done, you start thinking about the changes. It's like experiencing a dream that once you're done, you start thinking about, well, what, when you wake up, well, I need to make a change. I need to start doing this. But slowly, it starts fading off. Even after the severity of situations like 9/11, like the car accident, like, you know, the loss of the mother, whatever it is, notice how the reality is designed to dull you back out to doing the same old stuff you were doing before. There's nothing new going to come from what you're doing unless you tap into your creative and inventive potential and start creating these treasures. And these treasures are not for you to hoard like Smeagol. These treasures are for you to begin to distribute amongst those who need them most, those that are in your biorhythm. That's this reality. It's our biorhythm. We're all in this bubble together. But at the same time, still realizing that until everyone here, until this collective frequency begins to raise itself, you do, in fact, need to put that barrier between you and them. So that way, there's no loss of your creative power and your creative force when something goes on that's out of your control. Because inside of your sanctum, inside of your temple, everything is under control. Your control. All right, so we're forward, and we're going to get into the second half of today's message. And I'm even going to have an opportunity to take a few questions or answer a few questions that came in earlier this week. So that'll be awesome. So now we're going to get into the deeper part of this. You know, this is where we make that daily, or actually in this case, it'll be weekly dive into continuing what we know about the megastructure. So there's definitely going to be some major revelations and some things that click for a lot of people. And again, this is a continuation of what we discussed the last Keymaker show, what I'm calling episode zero, in regards to the archonic structures. So here's how it works. Because I already said, you know, I was going to do some heavy duty damage to the false megastructure, because I'm pretty much, tired of dealing with the buffoonery. I mean, just to make it very clear. I mean, when you have just this kind of system, you're dealing with a lot of people who are basically mind controlled or really imbalanced. And so what that leads to is they often attack those who are attempting to deliver a message of clarity and expansion, and they don't even know why. So, but every time they attack, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep bringing it heavier and heavier, and that way they realize that the worst thing to do is just to keep attacking. And so somehow that should rectify the system in itself. So either way, it's going to benefit us. So this is a win-win situation, I'll say. So the main thing that you have to understand about the reincarnation process, so that we're going to have to switch gears here a little bit, is so when you die or you divide, okay, because the word die, as in dice, means two. And even the god of this world, as it said, is known as Deuce or Deus. It means it's the dualistic God known as Deus, Deus Pater, meaning the divided father, the double-headed Janus, two-sided coin, which is known as the coin or term means Khan or Kohanim or Cain, meaning a priest king. Okay, so this is the foreground to understanding the etymology behind the structure or the cadmon. Okay, now obviously the cadmon is a male-female. It's a hermaphrodite, an angel, if you may, that is non-gendered, meaning that it has both sexes. So it doesn't need to procreate. It is self-created. Okay, so that wraps up the entire riddle of the body. Okay? Now, this body is what you will see being maintained over the planet Earth in a system that we call chakra centers, okay? Just like in your body is maintained through its organs, and they know that the organs connect to the chakra centers. You know, sometimes I'm utterly amazed at people who've dealt with this for years and years and years and years. And they just never come to the conclusion because they're afraid to come to the conclusion within that the bodies are what have been created and that these bodies are an agreement. These bodies consist of frequencies in harmony. And this code word, harmon, is the code word of the pact that was made or the agreement or the oath that was made by that they say are the fallen. What this means is just incarnation into physical realities is known as a fallen, while arisen is to leave a physical reality. So how this works is that the cadmon, which is the current blueprint, as you see in the archonic megastructure that's utilized within all secret societies and systems, there is a blueprint. And that blueprint is actually a sketch that's laid out over the entire planet. And that blueprint is in homage to a specific being who, in many tenses, is centered. From recent information, I've got some positioning. And this is when you take from the Great Pyramid and you use that as the 0 degrees. And you bring that line down into 0 degrees latitude, 0 degrees longitude. It brings you into the heart of Africa. And then in that specific position, you have the heart or the main control center. AKA the CPU, the central processing unit. Now, what's being processed are the souls. It's just like the recycled symbol is the Megan star. Some call it the Star of David. This Megan star is two interlacing triangles giving you six or sex. The two interlacing triangles coming together creates a point in the center. That's why they say our sixes are with our sevens. So that means that the creation from six or sex is seven. That's the birth of the uniting of the masculine, the upper triangle, and the feminine, the lower triangle, aka the penis and the vagina. So, that is the symbolism that's used even in the Flower of Life in all generative principles because that is the geometry behind the central processing core. And how the core unit works is it has divided itself through the ley lines. The ley lines are the same thing that you see on a circuit board. From the original core, you find that there's lines that go out from the central processing unit. And those same lines, just as it'll tell you in books like The Old Straight Track, and a person who's a medium or a spiritualist that's been on the other side says that, oh, well, spirits only travel in these straight lines. Those straight lines are the ley lines. That's why the craft in Freemasonry is to continue those lines, to build, to continue those lines and build those microcosmic cities that connect. So that way, even from New York, the ley line will run all the way back to the central processing core for processing. Because that soul, once divided from the body, will still remain polarized with whatever it chose to do that life. That's why it's always, oh, it's politics. They want you to choose one or the other. Everything's about choosing one or the other, not being neutral, not doing the Willy Wonka, but to become either this positive or this negative force. Because when you do that in your life, if you're just a Libra and you catalyze yourself to a positive or a negative Libra, then you're going to go down a certain channel through the system to the central processing core. It will process you and then release you. And they say that the time span is 49 days for the reincarnation process. You will be back out on a diametric opposition and you will reincarnate into the system. And that's how the processing works. Now, if you want to find the connection to this, in the Egyptian paintings, you'll find that during the embalming process, they have what's called the canopic jars. And the canopic jars are when they take the mummy, they remove the organs, and each organ goes into a specific jar. And each of the entities that are in those jars correspond to what we call the archon. Now, the archons. The archons are the degrees of the arc. In 360 degrees of the central processing core, in each arc, which is basically a degree, it's degrees, and each degree is different. That's why 100 degrees is not like 50 degrees. So in each of those degrees of the arc, that is the polarity. That is what the person corresponds to. Because that's the organ they correspond to. But the ancient knowledge says that one in particular, known as Baal Hadad, was the one who really had the most workers. Meaning that when they say, I'm a builder for the king, it's a builder for Baal. And Baal happens to correspond to your bowels. So this is why most people have, 80 to 90% of the people on the planet have trouble with their bowels because they eat all this crazy stuff. They think all of these crazy things. And then when it comes time to get that toxin out, they don't have the hearth. They don't have the fire. They don't have the fat passion. They definitely don't have the compassion, which is the compass to Zion. They don't have any of that to navigate themselves out of the bowel. So thus, just like you see in the tarot card, they remain chained to Baal, who is given the symbolism of the devil or the horned one, because he resides at the, or it resides at the central point of the body. And many return to that stage because of not mastering that. And that's why in mysticism, there's a metaphor that you have to master the devil. What it's basically saying is you have to begin to master your intake. If you eat any old thing, if you don't cleanse out your body, if you don't even care, you don't even think the body is somehow a component to your level of consciousness, then Baal's already got you. The Lord of the world, the King of Kings. It's only the only place you can have kings. You see, that's why they say it comes through the woman, because without coming through the woman, it can't get into the physical reality. No king is born on the world in the world unless it's come through the womb. You see, so all this connects on a very deep level. That's why life is so serious. That's why anytime someone gets into a major spiritual experience, it gets creepy and scary for them because now it's real. See, when they can play around in the illusion, which is what Baal built. Baal was the archon that built the illusionary worlds. He built, or it built, cities. Cities is the Hindu name for powers. That's why it has power in its city. So when people are in these cities, all of what's constructed there is maintaining the frequency of Baal. That's why they say, oh, let's go to the club. Let's go get knocked over the head, basically. Oh, let's go and let's get something to drink. Oh, let's go basically poison the body and throw it all off pH. Oh, well, we can't get around nature because there's only concrete here. Low density, lead filled structures. No trees, no organic grid, no connection. But many people think it's a game. They still, you know, you think they say, as Ross Ben mentioned, beware of the false promises. The false promises of the technology, because through the misuse of the technology, people have disconnected themselves from the real mainframe, and they've connected themselves to Baal, because Baal is the lord of technology. Baal is a Tron, Metatron to be exact. It's just one of the cohorts. So we find that humans in these days are like way over their head. But remember what I tell you, the master is no different than the slave drive. There's no difference between us in a tense as far as our megastructure inside of our own universe and what these beings are using to control you. If you're under control, I'm not saying directly you, but if you find yourself under control, because just like an addict, you may need to admit that you first have this problem before you can ever recover from it. And like I said, if you're just busy, like, you know, you're thinking, you're typing and you're, you know, you're just output. Meanwhile, your soul's on the line. You think any of this is a game? When you watch someone die, you'll see how serious it is. I recommend some people, man, maybe you need to go out and hang out in the cemetery for a while. So you can see how serious this is. These people that are in there probably rolled through this thing thinking that they had control or this day was never going to come. But yet and still, the host will take account because the host is time. The host plays with time. The host plays with gravity and those kind of integers, frequencies. We need to learn these days, what is the difference between a frequency that comes out of a computer, sound and music that comes out of a computer, versus sound and music that's played from brass? Do we think it's the same? Because this digital device says, oh, that's 20 hertz. So when he blows out this trumpet at the same tone as 20 hertz, this computer can make that same tone. That's the illusion. That's the false promises. Because while you cannot tell because your senses are not honed in enough, there's a big difference there. Because if you listen to it very closely, you'll hear the beeps. You'll hear the droid. But for those who cannot tell, it's all the same thing. So thus, they can easily be incepted. Their dreams can be hacked. They can get lost and not know what's real and what's fake. They can play when it's time to be serious. They can think it's all not until they slam into something. You see? So that's how serious this is. And that's why our ancestors benefited the most, because they were serious. Ancestors got time to play with you. This is dark matter here. This stuff will melt your car. You put this stuff in the wrong place, goodbye. You will experience what we call death or divide. It will split you in half and you will have less power. That's how serious this is. If you get divided too much, if you're in these quarrels, you know, you like this, yeah, I like red, I don't like blue. Man, I sure do not. I don't like it cold. I like it hot. See, now remember, these are all integers that we just think are two things. It's either one or the other. But there's a myriad, as I explained earlier, of these different decisions that we keep making. And it's just dividing, 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 dividing. So finally, when the last divisor comes, that's the one with billions of zeros and ones. Then we find ourselves out of our league. I'm not as smart as a computer. I can't do the calculations that a computer does that fast. And then we start leaning on an illusion. And to a point where the tones, the sounds, the vibrations, the frequencies, we can't tell the difference between real and fake. Now, my dossiers say that 1999, they already ended what we would say is a real organic world and already put everyone in that's not disconnected from this illusion and reconnected in with the mother and the divine masculine, divine feminine into an illusionary reality. And they won't even know it. They're just almost soulless because they're in a reality with no souls. It's not that they didn't have a soul. They had a soul, but they're not in a reality that the soul is even a component. There's no souls in the computer. So when they turn themselves on to the illusion, if you don't know the difference, see, these are tools, but they're dangerous. These are like putting the gun in the hand of a child. See, I'm not telling you technology is evil. What I'm saying, if you can't master this, you will be mastered. You will be a slave to it. They will switch your den pen. And you won't even know edgewise until you find yourself taking orders, until you find yourself being switched from one frequency to the next. Something's loading something on you, deleting something off of you, until you find yourself into that kind of experience. And then when it's too late, when you run out of space, when a bigger drive comes. See, all this is what happens to people every single day. They get phased out. Like those people who built those gigantic cities, those builders, they were all in the craft. They thought masonry was going to save them. When these droids came, they lost their jobs. They called them baby boomers. They can't even get on the droid. It's just too complex for them. It moves too fast. It's just they can't pair with it. Right? Even from the farmer was the closest one. He understood, you know, the days were, he had more of the days in control. He was in the circadian rhythm. He knew when to wake up, knew when to go to sleep, knew when to plant. Now we don't farm nothing. So we don't, you know, how do you even grow something? What, in a little pan in your kitchen, you sprouting something? So look what's happened to the greatness. And then the only thing that remains is these remnants and these relics. Looming in deserts where nobody's inhabiting them, and we're inhabiting these cities. False powers. And we've lost sight of our own. We've let others come. I don't want to blame it on they, but others are here that know more about this symbolism than we do. They've only demonized it. Now a triangle with an eye in it means basically the Illuminati. When such things, I mean, you're just looking at a body. Yeah, the eyes are on top of the body. What else are you trying to tell me here? Trifecta, yes. Positive, negative, neutral. What else are you trying to tell me here? Oh, straight lines. This is not a triquera. It's not curved line. That means it's inorganic. We make inorganic so we can square the circle, meaning that if you draw a circle on a piece of paper, it's going to be very difficult for you to start finding the vector points, meaning where are the points in the circle unless you start drawing straight lines. So you can't actually map a circle without drawing straight lines now, because we're actually in the illusion. This is why a lot of people can't draw, because they need to draw these straight lines to figure out where the curve should end and where it should begin. And they draw the curve between the straight lines. You see, like this is how it comes so slow. It's like death. You don't see it because, you know, like when you look at yourself in the mirror every day, you don't actually see yourself getting older. Because it's so gradual. But grab a picture of when you were a kid. Obviously, there's some change being made and you don't even notice. So that same system, that same process that we call time, can only be nullified through neutrality. And this neutral is not about you giving up. It's not about you going away from everything. Quite the contrary. It's about you being intelligent enough to know what's going on and to begin to devise a way personally for yourself. Because remember, it's all unique to you. That's the one up that you have, is that you're not trapped into one of these dogmatic systems to where they're telling you, oh, this is the one size fit all. This is how it's really going to be for you. You know, you're not into that. You're into, well, no, I'm more expanded. I need to listen to True Frequency Radio. I need to listen to Seven. I need to listen to somebody else so I can get more of a perspective of this. So you're already on your way. And remember, this conversation is just to get you to be serious about this, because time is running out. Not because I care about time, but because I want to end time. Meaning that time in itself, as being a component, has to be over with. And when we end time, we end Bao. That's how deep this is, because Baal is time. That's the cube. That's what this is all about. This is about keeping you in time, but you transcend time. So just remember what I said today. Remember the Willy Wonka theory to construct around yourself what is necessary for you to begin to build those treasures, to be very, very concerned about your divine creative force and how that's being utilized. If you feel yourself being maddened, let's talk about real talk here. If you're smoking weed and then jumping on the computer and watching porn, and your creative energy is just all off balance, and you're tired after that, then you go turn somebody on like me or somebody else, and then you feel like that's balancing things out. No, you have to create in the aspect of what it is to be a human, to carry that fire. That fire was brought across the cosmos to come to you. Many thought that you shouldn't have it. That's why the archons, they don't want you to have any control. They're going to continuously reincarnate and reboot the system. They're going to reboot, reboot. Why? Because it's a mega structure. Look at it. You're living in it. It's a hosted platform. So in order to get to the space that's necessary to create your own, to reach that sovereignty so other sovereigns can join you, you can join other sovereigns. That means that you can actually go into somebody's space that has already achieved this without coming disharmonic with things, bringing your opinions in and bringing your negative energies in, or your positive energies even. You come in neutral and balanced. You don't disrupt things. You don't leave a signature. You're not under the influence of any of these planetary systems because you have them all canceling out themselves. You mix your yins with your yangs. You know that, hey, if I'm smoking this, then this means that I shouldn't be doing this because these two don't go together. So when we come forward, we got one more segment here. I'm going to talk about how you can tell when you're mixing bad potions, when the formulas are off. I'm going to use some metaphors, and these are going to serve to allow you to examine everything that's going on around you so that way you can come into balance. Because remember, today I'm not talking about what you should stop doing. I'm not saying, oh, stop doing this like I'm your parent. I'm saying that you are the master, not the slave. Get it under control and don't lie to yourself. Kids lie to themselves. They say, oh, no, it's not a problem for me. Oh, it makes me more this and it make. No. All of us have done it. This is about getting in control today so you can see what's next for you, because all this stuff was put here to serve you in your experience. It's geocentric, meaning that still, no matter what anyone says, me, your daughter, your wife, your friends, everyone's rotating around you. Like, that's just how it is. I'm not seeing through your eyeballs. So from you on out is where you build. So again, we're going to come back with that final half of the show. We're going to identify some things that have just become like a checklist in your mind to let you know, okay, I'm mixing bad potion. So that way you can get on your way, because that's all I'm here to do, is I'm here to enlighten you, to reinvigorate you, and to encourage you to do what is necessary in your space to get to that level that you really want to achieve in life and even beyond this life. So we're going into that last segment here, and we're about to go ahead and cruise through. And what an amazing time to be in. Like, personally, I'm just getting started. Like, I noticed that I've just had so much stuff to do, and you know, even this technical thing can kind of get a little bit overwhelming because, you know, at every moment, like, building large sites is almost like building a large house. Every time there's something going on, pipe busted downstairs or whatever. So, you know, so much time gets dedicated to that, just to hosting, the ability for people to connect, that, you know, sometimes you just kind of get away from the things that, you know, you just have to do it all. It's just octopus on this thing these days. You can't even say what's, you know, exactly bad or what's right, or, you know, what you should and what you should not do, et cetera. You know, you just try to do as much as you can. So I just want everyone to know that I'm just doing as much as I can, the best that I can do to deliver this message. And I only can get better at that, especially the more that I continue to do it. And this is going on year seven for me. So it's not like I'm a newbie to this. And a lot of what people are talking about now and what goes on in circles, believe it or not, has been originated from a lot of the content that we've pushed for. So it's great to be a part of of what people are building, but also to remember that we're all unique. So we each have something to add to this. And so feel free at any point to utilize what you've learned and to allow it to develop what you're working on personally. So that way you come into more greatness, because all is self. That's not something that can be argued against. All of this, megastructure, Metatron, the whole nine, have been nothing but catalysts for me to begin to understand more about my capacity, my potential, and my connection with the cosmos. So it should do the same thing for you. There's definitely nothing to fear. There's nothing to worship, and there's nothing to reject. It's all a part of our massive understanding, and that's where we get our power from, and that's where our power will always exist. So we can perpetually power ourselves off of such things. So the last thing that I really want to talk about here is I want to talk about, it's somewhat of a do's and don'ts list, but you know, you would be almost insane to try to obey all of these principles, but it gives you a greater insight as to how things are actually, it gives you a greater insight of how things are put together. So let me just go ahead and start. So in this sense, it's kind of the conclusion of the cannabis theory, but it's basically about what happens when you get into states where you open up your chakras. So we won't make it specific to substances, because meditation can do that. Breathing can do that. And it's important for you to realize in a certain tense what exactly goes on in your consciousness and even in your physical body when you engage in techniques that actually open the chakras. So obviously we have to put this into some kind of perspective. So we'll say in relation to cannabis, some of the do's and don'ts. And then again, you can apply this to anything that you're utilizing or whatever you have going on, because it'll help you make sure that you keep your system filtered properly. Because remember, it's your responsibility to be your own customs. You have to set up customs at your own ports. Your ports are your chakra centers. Those are actually the processing centers for your consciousness. That's why food goes through different organs to be processed. Vitamins, nutrients, minerals go through different organs to be processed. That's why you can ensure that when you leave here, there will be a process that ensues that attempts to filter you. And that's what we talked about, the reincarnation process, in order for you to be refined, okay? And then hypersentience, because this is still part of a machination in a certain tense. It's a process, the reincarnation process. Hypersentience brings you to a point to where you can actually transcend that whole process. This is almost like not eating. So there's no reason for organs to be used to process anything if you're not eating anything. So that those are the reference points for hypersentience. Just so this starts to make sense. It's like, well, wait a minute. If these are, you know, some people can get confused. They're like, well, if this is the organs are the archons, and archons are, you know, they can get all nuts about it. But realistically, if you look at it in its traditional sense and you see both sides of it, you see that there is a positive and a negative and a neutral behind every planet, behind every organ, et cetera, et cetera. So this is about how to get those formulas correct. So what happens is when you blow open your chakras, however you're doing that, if it just so happens that you're actually in front of an electronic device, what happens is, especially with screens, larger screens, they do throw out a great deal of frequencies. And those frequencies are coming across a certain band. Okay? And we discovered this even with working with scalar technology. And scalar technology was somewhat of a technological method of trying to heal the body. I only found that it was useful in charging electronics. Like charging them to a level to where they actually seem to resonate. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but scalar technology was an invention. It's been used for different things, generally in, you know, more of like laboratories and those kind of things. But I came across a scalar device, and what it used was screens, like your big computer screen at home, and it flashed these symbols that drip down the screen, somewhat like the Matrix code. And those symbols, because of their colors and their shapes, threw out frequencies into the room. Okay, so this is how you can connect it to science, if you may, or things that are applicably used in advanced technology today. So your screen at, you know, 5,000 pixels, 1,024 pixels, whatever, has all these frequencies coming off of it. So what happens is if you open your chakras, then you're also going to be exposed to those frequencies, and those frequencies work in a specific band. So this is something to be concerned about. It may be a good idea that if you're going to blow open your chakras, however you do it, to remove yourself from electronic devices that emit a large amount of electronic frequencies. The next thing is it's an all-time favorite for people to blow open their chakras, and I'm just using it as this type of term. This could be using substances like cannabis, et cetera, and then go play video games. And while it may add and heighten the experience of the game, you may want to use discretion. Now, I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying use discretion of how many times you at least do it, because what you're also doing is while that chakra is open, not only are you getting that frequency, but you're also getting the embed. And we actually discovered this through the process of reference points with chakra opening substances. Reference points are, let's say, for instance, some people are concerned about when is cannabis use harmful. And it actually becomes harmful when you have these crummy reference points. This means that you, every time you utilize it, you basically lay back on the couch, you do nothing, or, you know, you go and do something that's virtually meaningless. Versus if you utilize it and you go and, let's say you're painting, let's say you go into drawing, et cetera, what happens is that it sets these reference points in your consciousness. And the reason why is that when you utilize chakra-altering substances, you create a spike. And that spike and that open of the frequency creates a reference point. And so every time that you utilize it, you go back to that reference point. So if you create too many of these crazy reference points, then you kind of permanently embed your mind with these kind of reference points. So that's what you need to be concerned about. The second thing is arguments. Like sometimes we feel like when we get out of one of those crazy quarrels, the best thing to do is go and utilize one of these substances. But the unfortunate part is that it only intensifies the thought process, the actual signature in your mind that's causing you to remember what went on. It may dull your consciousness, or you may dull your feelings because of the dopamine generally that's being released in the brain, but it does intensify the overall process of how much you're thinking about whatever occurred on a subconscious level. And when you do that, you're basically overexposing yourself to a negative frequency. So be concerned about that. Noisy environments, especially environments that are full of a lot of inorganic noises. And this is because the senses being heightened are somewhat like Superman being dropped into the world at first, not knowing how to control those senses, and just being overwhelmed. So you want to be aware of that. You want to not put yourself into very noisy environments. Same thing with heavy workouts. This is another thing. When you put your body under stress, physical stress, and then your chakras are open, it leaves that reference point. Be aware of that. TV, movies, especially if it's not heightening your consciousness, you know, being aware of that. Same thing, frequencies flying everywhere, here you go. Anything over electronics generally, you know, you want to be concerned about that. Now watch, if you take this checklist, because you can write it down when you hear the archive of the show, you take this checklist, you'll start noticing that if you choose to utilize substances that blow open the chakras, you will see that in most cases you're doing some of this. And this is what actually creates the issue. It's not so much the substance itself, because it could be a medicine in every tense, but it's actually the improper use. Just like you don't use certain medicines in ways that, you know, you don't go and put it in your ear. So there could be improper use more so than the substance itself being the culprit to, you know, what's causing are giving you some kind of demise or negative experience. The next thing is also meeting with strangers while you're engaging. You know, and it's a major thing because your chakras are open and they're so open. If you're with a stranger and you're engaging with this substance with them, you don't know where their energy is coming from and what's going on with them. You leave yourself susceptible in another realm. Like if you have an active third eye, you can see this rather easy. But for those who don't and haven't blown open those chakras, they won't know what's going on, but you're actually interfacing with the person. So if it's someone that you don't know, you can make yourself become exposed to things that later on manifest as something that you don't even know where it came from. Driving, And it's because you're not actually giving the substance the respect that it really deserves. It needs to be put into a space to where you can actually focus on what you're doing, so that way you can take it through its complete process. But if you're driving, trying to change gears, you're trying to not hit the car in front of you, you know, and the red light and the dude in the traffic, the person honking the horn. So this is leaving reference points of chaos once more. Cell phones, man, cell phones is almost like top of the list, but that's also what a lot of people do the most, because they, you know, they get in there, they get in their chakra opening substance, and then they start flipping through the phone, and then there they are with this device in their hand, which is where one of the major chakra points are, palm of the hand, in the center of the bottom of the feet, known as the sole of the foot also. Those are major vortices there. So that's just sucking in all of that. Because you can't imagine that the energy that's coming off of a phone, if you put it on your chest, if you put it on your genitals, whatever, that it's not going to damage you because it's got radiation coming off of it. So if you're putting that on you when you also have your chakras open, you can, you know, it's a no-brainer. But sometimes, you know, you just have to go through this stuff in order to understand what's really happening and why you may not be able to have that breakthrough that you're looking for, especially with your creativity and utilizing the divine feminine properly. The next thing is avoiding acidity. Like, you know, fried chicken or whatever, you know, right on top of it. You know, sometimes you get the munchies, you go eat the sugar, all these kind of different things. When you take the pH of the body and you shift it into an acidic form, that's actually what allows it to get on the band of what most people don't want to experience. This is the energies that are associated with sickness, whether it's mental sickness, physical sickness, etc. It's because of the acidic level of the body. We all know that, that's those of us that study the body, but this also affects us differently when we're utilizing in conjunction with the chakras. In addition, avoiding the hive. And what the hive is basically the inorganic illusionary structure, sometimes created by electronics, sometimes creating by the Wi-Fi, avoiding the hive as much as possible. And like I said, on all this stuff on the list, these are just things that if you can check off more of these when you're engaging, the more, the better. But again, don't get crazy about it, because this stuff can become your worst enemy if you start getting crazy about it. But remember, avoiding the hive is a good idea. You know, you may want to go out into nature. If you can get off the grid, get off the grid, you know, turn it into a ceremony and then really start inheriting what it has to really give to you. The next thing is avoiding negative thoughts. We talked about that early, arguments. But if you notice, sometimes the mind, some call that paranoia, it manifests in a different kind of way. It will attempt to start feeding in these negative thoughts into your consciousness. And these just kind of come out of nowhere. It's like, you know, just random negative thought. You want to make sure that you're in control of your consciousness to not allow it to drift into negative thoughts when you're utilizing your chakra opening substance. The next thing is avoiding electrically generated music. Now, the interesting part is many of us played instruments, especially when we were younger. So it may be a good idea to decide to go and jump on Amazon and find an instrument that you like to play. Like even on our site, we have some solfeggio flutes that, you know, a kid can play, you know, and they sound wonderful. You sound like you're a professional playing these things. So it's a good idea to go, and we're going to talk about solutions here in a moment, but it's a good idea to find some naturally generated sound. Go get a trombone, go get a trumpet, you know, if you play clarinet, if you play violin, if you don't, learn to, because these organically generated sounds from elements will work wonders for you as far as a frequency level and actually allowing you to not just tune your body, but get in tune with your body. That's why some people can actually play by ear, because they're so in tune with natural frequency that they can really understand where that frequency scale is. And when you can do that, you can also, in these experiences, begin to govern the frequency of your body and change it and morph it, especially for some of the substances that really open the chakras much more in an advanced way, such as ayahuasca and geowasca and diamond tree, etc. The next thing is also remember that you can actually balance back out your acidity with, on our site, we have a product called the Alkalizer. And if you don't have something like that, then you can also use baking soda and, you know, just a teaspoon or something. But if you know that you've just engaged in a lot of acid, then you can actually restore your pH by going ahead and getting back on the alkaline level. So just remember, you can actually govern the alkaline and the acidic levels of your body with certain substances, bicarbonates, etc. Some of the do's. lovemaking. I mean, everyone likes that. It's naturally organic, and it actually allows you to generate a very strong pranic force, and it kind of keeps you away from the electronics and gets you into something that's different than that. And, you know, there's never anything wrong with something like that unless there's some kind of abuse going on there. And, you know, use your own discretion. Meditation, another great level of setting a reference point for yourself that allows you to return to that reference point every time you choose to engage. And then it becomes somewhat of a habit to where you're always utilizing that reference point. Yoga, it is a little bit intense on the body, but it's a positive level intense. It's kind of different than working out, like lifting weights and that kind of thing. The yoga often puts you in positions to mature those chakra centers. So nature, obviously, is a great idea because you're able to inherit the grounding of the earth and also begin to notice the connection between you and the earth, the geometry, etc. Family. I mean, family is that those aren't strangers. Those are people that you can spend time with, that you can get love with. Obviously, you don't want to start getting into some kind of conflicts or quarrels, but find those right times and spaces to engage with your family. And it's not a bad idea to be more heightened in those scenarios so that you can connect more with them. Inventing. This is one of my favorite ones. It's like grabbing a pen and paper. Go manual. That's what I call it. Go manual. And, you know, after you've engaged, and start sketching and start drawing and start writing about your experience. That's one of the number one ways to increase your overall productivity and use of the divine feminine. Again, I mentioned writing, drawing for those who know how to draw and go beyond fancy stickmen, and also person to person talking when it's time to connect with that special person in your life or even with your mother, your child. It's not a bad idea if this is a person that's familiar that you're familiar with to, if you're utilizing that, to go and have that conversation with them that will allow you to connect with them more. So that's what I have for you. I mean, today I've done the best to keep the conversation balanced, but also to keep it real because, you know, I'm not here to just tell you what you want to hear. And I'm also not here to just tap dance and entertain you with wild stories of, you know, the other planes, but to give you a good perspective of what's happening in the reality and how that's affecting you. And then also how you can, in solutions, because this is not just about, you know, smacking the hand and telling you what you should not do. This is like, hey, if you're going to choose to engage in this, still realize, you know, there's a reason why we don't let 3-year-olds jump on this, 4-year-olds jump on this. You know, you don't put a 4-year-old on the ayahuasca, et cetera. And it's because you have to have the maturity. It's the neophyte, the initiate, and the adept. And you need to be that on your own. You don't need a secret society to tell you about that. You don't need some guru to tell you about that. You have to do that on your own because at the end of the day, you're the one that flips the switch. I can say whatever I want to say in here and I can be as eloquent as I want, as I can. But at the end of the day or at the end of the conversation, it's you that decides how exactly you're going to address all of this. So that's what's up. So there's one small part because we got about 6 more minutes left. And I had, you know, one question that was asked to me just the other day. And then remember, next show, we'll have the opportunity to answer questions. And also, if you do have a question, you can actually go to astroquest.com/ask throughout the week. Type your question. We'll get it. We'll put it into a simple format so that way we can, you know, get it into, you know, a question that everyone can understand. And then we'll have that question answered on the show. And in fact, that's really what I want to do more of anything with more of than anything, because obviously I have a plethora of knowledge. Everyone's heard me over the last 6-7 years. We haven't really said the same thing twice or over and over and over again till it becomes dry. And there's a lot to this, but it's easier for me to just project what you need because I could pull these treasures out at any point in time. The question was that was asked to me is how do you address the concept of God to Christians and to people who are spiritually inclined, especially since we don't actually believe in religions and religious structures. And what I told that person was is that obviously we have graduated from the concept that God is something external. And God becomes internal. And you can check that in these scriptures because it says, oh, you're a child of God. So that means that if you're a child of God, then that means that you are a God. And so when you graduate from that, you realize that you are, in fact, the God. And you're also you are the one that determines whether or not you do this good or you do this evil. Just as in the book it says, I am God, I do both good and evil. So from there, what you have to do, though, is realize that now you're off the crutches, because God serves people externally that are not ready to make that step on their own. So it's also something that you have to be very concerned about. You just don't want to go and snatch the rug off from underneath everyone and let them know that the external God that they're worshiping is nothing more than, you know, a figment of their mind versus who they really are inside and how they're the real connection to all that there really is. And so what you really have to address with them is that when you graduate to that next level, you're now responsible for also keeping yourself in balance. With the responsibility does come the power, but there is a big responsibility for you to also keep yourself connected. And that's the main thing. So I won't be able to elaborate on it as deep as I want to elaborate on it, because there's just a few minutes left. But just to remember that we are, in fact, the gods. But we determine what we become based on how we're able to govern this energy. And then once you leave that island, meaning once you leave this whole idea that there's an external God, then very few people actually return to that. And that sometimes is what makes the adept, is because you're not able to go back into believing that there's this external force that, and you know that everything is within. So this means that, again, that you have the responsibilities of making sure that you govern the positive and negative energy that you're taking in, and then actually being the real lord of your life and the real master of your own destiny. So that's what I have to say about that, and I'll probably address that again next show just a little bit, because I did actually elaborate on quite a few more things about the whole concept, but that's it. And so, yeah, there's three more minutes left. I guess I can, since there's no, well, I could accept callers and things, but I think it's just a little bit too late to do that. And so I'll just do some la-da-dee-da until the time runs out. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, so this is it. So what's next? So obviously we'll be back on, or forward, as I always say, next Saturday, 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's 7 o'clock Central. And we'll be getting into the next show of The Keymaker. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll know next time not to run out of things to say 2 to 3 minutes before the whole show is over. But it's been, like I said, it's been an amazing time with everyone for this whole period, and creating all the things that we've created together, and then also going through this, because the world is wild. And, you know, I've been on quite a journey myself, and it's just made it so much more enlightening for me to experience that journey with others. So everyone should remember that we're not alone. There is someone out there that's very close to you, not just like you because you're unique, but, you know, something that's very, everything that you're experiencing, there is one of us that is experiencing close to the same thing. And again, I want to say thanks to Chris and Cherie, because this has given me an opportunity to come forward on some show and to actually begin to deliver these jewels once again, and, you know, keep these treasures and treats coming from the factory while I'm also able to focus on what goes on inside with Oompa Loompa and Charlie, and make sure that we keep generating what people need to hear, and then also nullifying Slugworth by allowing that to be also our invention, meaning we can nullify a lot of what we think in the reality is actually negative by realizing that that becomes the contrast. That becomes the contrast of our creation that we use to determine what's one thing from another. And so hopefully all of us can realize in the conclusion of our expansion here on Earth that all is self, that we can get into that great space to where we begin to enjoy one another as one, that we realize that our power is truly not in our division, but in our connection, and that we also begin to see that there is a space beyond this, beyond time, that's already being inhabited now, I mean, the party is already going on, and that we've never lost anything, and until we connect on the physical plane again, let us be certain that life exists infinitely, and energy can never be destroyed, and know that your quest to perfection is total realization, and that realization is that all is self. So I want to say wholeness and balance vibration to everyone, and I'll see you next week. All right, we got 46 seconds left. So that's what's up. Maybe I can announce who's coming on next. Oh, also, if you wanted to check out the archive of the show, you can also check that out on Truth Frequency Radio. And then probably it'll be up tomorrow, if not Monday, on astroquest.com, so you can also check it out there. We do encourage you to support TFR to make sure that the message stays strong, stays live, and stays real.